ओम ज्ञान चिमरंदस्य ज्ञानंजन शलकय चक्षुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Today we are celebrating Lord Krishna's speaking Bhagavad Gita. There are many religious scriptures in this world, meant for different levels of understanding. Every good teacher knows how to speak according to the level of the audience. In Bhagavad Gita, you have the advantage of Krishna's instructing someone who is far beyond the level of human beings today. That means when you hear Krishna speaking to Arjuna, you're hearing knowledge that is not ordinary. You're hearing knowledge that is beyond the capacity of people today. At the same time, it's not out of their reach if indeed we follow Lord Krishna's instructions. The mental and intellectual capacities of Arjuna, his physical strength, his culture, are all beyond what human beings can aspire for today, unless they become purified. In Bhagavad Gita, as Srila Prabhupada explains, you'll find things that are in other religious texts, but you'll find a lot that is not there. Let us hear from the first verse of the seventh chapter, Knowledge of the Absolute. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya saktam manaparta yogam yunjan marashraya asamshayam samagramam yathagyasyasi tachtrinu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. As soon as we hear Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, we know that we are in store for a completely unique experience. Krishna is not an ordinary person speaking. If you take Krishna to be ordinary, the whole Bhagavad Gita loses its value. Because throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing his own identity. Clearly, Krishna presents himself as the cause of all causes, the source of everything. If we don't take Krishna at his word, then Bhagavad Gita is just an ordinary text. Sometimes we think that there are so many religious beliefs in this world. Isn't everyone entitled to their belief? Belief in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is praiseworthy, but it is just the beginning. Bhagavad Gita takes you far beyond religious belief. I was speaking about this point 3 nights ago at New York University. The subject the students gave me at New York University was science as faith and scientific faith. Meaning that so much of what people consider science today is based on faith, based on belief. that matter is everything. There's nothing beyond matter. Life and consciousness originated from matter. This is belief. And what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita is a laboratory experience for how to verify the existence of the spiritual world. How to verify the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ourselves as His parts. I explained to the students at New York University that nowhere in Bhagavad Gita will you find Krishna asking you to believe in Him. Nowhere. Now, that doesn't mean religious belief is a bad thing, but the point is, Krishna is going far beyond religious belief. He wants to present to you a program of experience, how you can experience the spiritual reality. Just like in this verse, text 1 of chapter 7. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, is saying, "Now listen, Arjuna, I'm going to teach you the yoga system." In other words, I'm going to teach you procedures, methods, practices, so that your mind will be attached to me. You'll be in full consciousness of me. You'll know me in full. There won't be any doubts. So Krishna is presenting methodology. He's not presenting religious faith as we know it. He wants you to have experience. This is the unique value of Bhagavad Gita. You see, certainly Bhagavad Gita presents a lot of information that's beyond the range of our ordinary senses. At the same time, Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita presents the procedures for enhancing your sense perception so that indeed you'll gain access to dimensions beyond the range of your ordinary experience. So Krishna is not asking you to believe based on blind faith. Simply a little bit of faith in Krishna is required to walk into the door of the laboratory. But once you're inside the laboratory, then if you follow Krishna's instructions, you'll get the result. The bhakti process, the Krishna conscious methodology, does not depend on blind faith. It's just that in order to learn, we need to accept knowledge from authority. And then we can progress. By your accepting knowledge from the perfect authority, by your accepting knowledge from Krishna, you are not resigning yourself to a lifetime of blind faith. No. For example, in reading Bhagavad Gita, if you simply read Bhagavad Gita with an open mind, in other words, let me hear what Krishna has to say. Let me read Bhagavad Gita from cover to cover. And then let me see what happens. Not that every time you come across something in Bhagavad Gita that doesn't resonate with your culture or agree with your concepts, you shut the book and say, that's it. No, if you just give Krishna a fair chance, that's all. Hear Krishna out, just like you would want someone to hear you out. Don't you feel very stifled? Don't you feel very upset when you're trying to explain yourself to someone and they refuse to hear you out? Isn't it a very uncomfortable feeling? Naturally, in your heart, you feel that I am the authority on knowing myself, and I'm trying to explain myself. And you won't even let me talk. You won't even listen. You have so many prejudgments in your mind. It's a very horrible feeling. All Krishna is asking of us in Bhagavad Gita is hear him out. Listen. He tells Arjuna, Yata Vyasasi Tach Trinu. You can know everything about me, Arjuna. Just listen. This listening is not an act of religious faith. It is precise scientific methodology for entering into the realm of the Supreme. Listening to Krishna is not an ordinary activity. In Bhagavad Gita, we get the chance to hear from the Supreme Consciousness. How do we know that Krishna is the Supreme Consciousness? He gives us procedures in Bhagavad Gita to verify his status, and also to verify our status as part of Krishna. You see, as Srila Prabhupada explains, self-realization and Krishna consciousness go hand in hand. Because if you truly realize yourself, that means you understand you're part of Krishna. When the sun rises in the morning, not only do you see the sun, but you also see yourself. Both things are there, you and the sun. Similarly, true enlightenment, the perfection of the yoga system, means that we can see ourselves and we can see the complete whole, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, together. So Krishna wants to give you the practices, the procedures. He wants to give you the experience. Bhagavad Gita is beyond religious sectarianism. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita do you see Krishna use the word Hindu. Krishna doesn't say, I am a Hindu, or I am a Christian, or I am a Muslim, or I am a Jew. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say, I am American, or I am Indian, or I am Australian. Nowhere. What does Krishna say about himself in Bhagavad Gita? As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything, past, present, and future. I know all living entities, but no one knows me. Name vidu suragana prabhavam namaharshaya. Krishna says, who can understand me? The greatest devas, the greatest demigods can't understand me. The greatest rishis in the universe can't understand me. Why? Aham adir hidevanam. In every case, in every instance, I preceded all the greatest demigods, all the greatest rishis, sages. I was here before them. I'm their source. Just like, for example, you cannot visualize the moment in which you were conceived by your mother and father. Think about it. You can't see that moment. It happened before you were able to be conscious. Similarly, Krishna is saying, the greatest demigods, the greatest rishis, sadhus, sages, can't understand him because he's outside the range of their experience. But even though Krishna is outside the range of our experience, he, because he's unlimited, because Krishna has unlimited possibilities, he can enter into the realm of your experience. So this is the advantage of Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes people say, we are limited, so how can we know God? Since we are limited, we can't know God, so forget about it. Better we busy ourselves making money, enjoying our senses, because we can't know God. We are tiny, we are limited. God is unlimited. But if you say God is unlimited, that means God has unlimited possibilities. And one of his unlimited possibilities is that he can appear within the understanding of the limited. It can work from that way, from Krishna's side, because he's unlimited. He can appear within the consciousness of the limited. But it doesn't work from the other side. How can the limited approach the unlimited? By definition, we're limited. We have limited possibilities. But Krishna is unlimited. So even though you're limited, Krishna can grant you understanding of him because he has unlimited possibilities. Bhakti yoga is based on this transcendental reality. Krishna is independent. He can do what he likes. He can reveal himself to you if he so desires. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is presenting what we need to do so Krishna will give us full experience of himself. He tells Arjuna, Asamshayam samagram mam. You're going to know me completely. There won't be any doubt. Just listen as I explain the procedures that you should follow if you want to attain this goal. This is non-sectarianism. This is pure Krishna consciousness. How to be fully aware of Krishna. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say, it depends on where you're born. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say, it depends on what caste your mother and father are from. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say, it depends on what religion you think you are. Everywhere in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you follow the procedures, you enter the bhakti laboratory, here are the results you'll get. This is the glory of Bhagavad Gita. One of the world's greatest scientists, Albert Einstein, said an interesting point. Albert Einstein said that knowledge of reality begins with experience and ends with experience. In other words, knowledge of reality is not about just our speculating what reality is. Knowledge about reality is completely bound with experience. Now, when you read Bhagavad Gita, you are getting Krishna's experience. In other words, yes, we agree. Knowledge of reality begins and ends with experience. But whose experience? Why just our experience? Why not Krishna's experience? So you may say, well, how can we know Krishna's experience? And he's explaining how you can do that. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is speaking. I'm going to teach you how you can know all about my experience. You'll know it fully, in full consciousness of me. Let me introduce my experiences to you. In this way, we can enter into understanding the Krishna experience. It's not about blind faith. It's not about religious belief. It is about applying the spiritual technologies of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, loving devotional service to the Lord. Finally, we can understand Bhagavad Gita as compassion. Krishna wants us to know him because we're suffering so much in this world of birth and death. We're suffering because we don't know Krishna. Ordinarily, we might say, if I don't know someone, what is the loss? It would be nice if I knew that person, but I don't. Life goes on. Now, can we say that about Krishna? No. As the Lord says, Ashradadana Purusha Dharmasasya Parantapa Aprapyamam Navartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Not understanding Krishna doesn't lead to just no conclusion. By our not understanding Krishna, what do we get? Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Continued rotation in the cycle of repeated birth and death. So it's very important to understand Krishna for both negative and positive reasons. the positive reasons, you know. Bhakja mama vijanati. Krishna says, by devotional service that he can be known, and then you'll attain to the supreme destination. All this is based on knowing Krishna, experiencing Krishna. So just like we have our experiences, the supreme complete whole, the supreme absolute truth also has experiences. And the perfection of the yoga system is to introduce you to Krishna's experiences. Then you have true knowledge of reality. The more we can connect people to Krishna's experience, the more you'll see the fullness of life, the fullness of existence, because we're all part of Krishna. This is a very important day for connecting people to knowledge of Krishna, to the Krishna experience. In this way, people can actually understand what is reality. In a non-sectarian, non-fanatical, non-dogmatic way. I hope that so many of you have thoughts in your hearts now, have thoughts in your mind about how to connect others to Bhagavad Gita. And I hope that you'll feel confident that you're not pushing some religious sect upon them, you're not pushing religious beliefs upon them, you're giving them access to the Krishna experience. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Deva Mitra Maharaj Ki Jai. Wow, what a wonderful talk to give Krishna's experience. I'm hoping that you're writing on this particular pamphlet how to give someone Krishna's experience. On a mundane level, you can go to a bookstore, and I know you've heard this name, Covey. You've heard this name, Covey? Seven Steps to Something. I've even seen that name. He sells his books by the millions to give his experience, how to become a first-class manager or person. So here, Maharaj made a very wonderful point, how to get Krishna's experience to someone so they can understand that they're a spirit soul. They're not of this world. So these little pamphlets here can help. Have you filled one out? You filled them out? So we can have some devotees go and pick them up. Vanath Prabhu, if you can pick up those that have... And I'm Kirtan Prabhu, please pick them up. So you can... If you want to distribute the book or books, you're more than welcome to do so. Otherwise, if you don't let us or you don't inform us of this, we'll distribute the books for you. But if you want them, we have them. We have thousands of Bhagavad Gitas for you. So please fill out one of these wonderful little forms and let us do our work. Let us give people an opportunity to get their Krishna experience. I thought that was very... Wasn't that pretty intelligent? That was pretty neat, wasn't it? I thought that was very brilliant. So, anybody have any questions? Maybe someone wants to ask Maharaj a question. Would anyone like to ask a question?
Yes.
In order to make spiritual progress, one must have faith.
As I was explaining, you require enough faith to walk into the laboratory. You need that much faith that my taking up this process is worthwhile. By reading Bhagavad Gita, you'll get that much faith. And then you apply your senses according to Krishna's instructions, you get the experience. But a little bit of faith is required for anything. When you go to a store, you have some faith that the store will probably have what I want. When, for example, if your parents arrange your marriage, you're thinking, well, probably my parents have researched the situation and I'll accept their recommendation. So many things in this world require some faith to get going. So that's all Krishna asks in Bhagavad Gita. Listen, and with your senses, apply what Krishna says, you'll get the result. Isn't that fair enough? So therefore, today we're stressing the point. Give Krishna a fair chance. Yes.
I'm really curious from your talk today. I got more confused than I was before. And I got a little bit confused with your thought, because if what I understand, bhakti yoga is really a matter of faith and thinking that whatever Krishna is speaking here, it is truth, and nothing but the truth. And science, the modern science, which is a science of material science, it is not a science of spirituality, it is a science of material. And they always start with having no faith in whatever they do. So it's very different. You cannot equate the present science with this. You can call it a spiritual science. Bhakti yoga is not a spiritual science. It's something to experience, and it's pure love. I don't understand how it can be a science.
It's very simple. It's not the kind of science like material science. The things that Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita are beyond the range of our senses, most of them. Most of the things that Krishna explains are beyond the range of our ordinary experience. At the same time, Krishna gives you the processes, the laboratory techniques for enhancing your sense perception. To know Krishna is not an ordinary thing. He cannot be known with our ordinary senses. He can only be known by our following his instructions how to know him. And when you follow Krishna's instructions, that means you're in the bhakti laboratory, and your sense perception becomes enhanced, expanded. That is the experience of the bhakta. It is not a question of religious belief, although to believe in Krishna is nice. I'll give an example that I gave at New York University. There was one student couple in the lecture hall. So I said to the young man, if you say that you believe this is your wife, is that a very powerful, dynamic reality? And his wife laughed. What's the big deal that he believes I'm his wife? That's not enough for dynamics in this relationship. In other words, she's saying, I want more than his believing I'm his wife. I want to see reciprocation, activities, dynamics, exchanges. So, to believe in Krishna, that is nice, but Krishna wants to give you more than that in Bhagavad Gita. He wants to give you experience of him in a reciprocating relationship. That is bhakti. Any other? Yes.
So, you mean to say that... So, do you mean to say, or like, is this the meaning that we start with faith and then Krishna gives us the experience?
Exactly. Bhagavad Gita is not a book of blind faith. It is a book of investing in what Krishna says, and then you'll get experience. Love is about experience. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is pure love, and he wants his parts and parcels, he wants his devotees to relate to Him in pure love. That is all about experience. But in order to have that experience, we must purify ourselves. Therefore, we have the yoga system, of which bhakti yoga is the pinnacle. Through purification and knowledge, we are able to have the experience of the Supreme. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is sharing the experience of Himself with you. He's explaining how He is and explaining what you can do to know Him in full, as He tells Arjuna here. Asham shayam samagram mam itha yes, as He touched Trinu. Just listen. You'll know all about me without any doubt. You'll know me completely. Just listen. I want to tell you the techniques. This is why Bhagavad Gita is in a class of its own. Very nice questions.
Any other questions? Okay.
Krishna wants us to renounce everything, renunciation, in order to know Him. But when He came here and showed His pastimes, He was never renounced. He was always having everything.
Actually, you see, once we study Bhagavad Gita properly, we'll understand we have nothing to renounce. All the energy belongs to Krishna. The only thing that we renounce is our mentality of false proprietorship. That's the only thing we renounce. Let us say, suppose you and I are walking past the Sony building a few blocks away, you know? And I say to you, see the Sony building? I renounce it. What would you say? You would just laugh. You don't own it. How could you renounce it? I said, no, I renounce it. You would inform me that how can I renounce something that I have no ownership over? So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is asking us to renounce our false claim of proprietorship. By doing that, we get credit for renouncing something that never was ours in the first place. We get the credit, not simply by renouncing our false proprietorship, but by using everything for Krishna's pleasure. Look at Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Did Arjuna renounce fighting? In fact, he wanted to renounce fighting. And what did Krishna tell him? Mama Nusma Yudham Cha. Fight, Arjuna, and think of me. So Arjuna had this false idea of what he should do. Why do I have to fight? Let me just give it all up. Krishna, don't you explain that we should be detached from everything? Well, I'm trying to be detached, and you're urging me to fight. Tat kim karmani gore mam. Since, Krishna, you're always stressing, as far as I've heard, you're always stressing renunciation and detachment, then why do you ask me to engage in this horrible war? So, based on Arjuna's misunderstanding of renunciation, Krishna explains the Bhagavad Gita that everything belongs to Krishna, and when you use everything for Krishna's pleasure, that is real renunciation. An example Srila Prabhupada would always give, a simple example, but very profound. If you're walking down the street and you see a wallet laying there with money in it, you have some choices. If you take the money and use it for yourself, then you're a thief. Or you may say, well, I renounce it completely. I have nothing to do with it. And you just leave it there. But the best thing is to pick up the wallet and return it to its owner. Look in, see the ID, and bring it back to its owner. So in bhakti yoga, Krishna is not asking you to ignore everything, to detach yourself from everything and just have nothing to do with it. No, he's asking you to go further, to real renunciation by using everything in Krishna's service. That is bhakti yoga, the perfection of renunciation.